Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. It is Tuesday, June 30th, 2015. So happy to be with you today on a summer day. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California, and I am joined by my sister, Julie Dolan, who is coming to us live from Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Hi, Jewel.
Yes, Leanne, that's right. It's summertime. I'm in Colorado. Very happy to be here. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going on. It's a special summer here. The first of many, I hope.
Okay. Excellent. Good. Okay. And we have a full show for a Tuesday show. Julie has a whole block of summertime stories. So get ready for that. Get your lemonade out. I have some sporting notes from all over. We're going to talk about some of the big sporting events going on. An unbelievable story that could only happen in LA, Julie. There is a group of nuns from the Immaculate Heart Convent that are trying to sell their beautiful $15 million convent. And they want to sell it to one person, and the diocese wants to sell it to Katy Perry. So,
what?
Yeah.
What?
Awesome. Oh, it's just wait to hear this story. It's a classic. It's a classic awesome nun story, which I just don't think we get enough of those. So we have that. And then, of course, we are excited to do our recap of the new PBS masterpiece series, Poldark. We are calling our recap, thanks to Satellite Sister Valerie, who suggested this unbelievable name, Poldark and Handsome. Oh, it's the best name. Such a
it
good
is,
name.
It is, man. It makes me smile just to say it. I was like, oh, good. We got to do Poldark and Handsome today.
And let's face it. He is. So, woo, we are
yes,
going to get
to that. Yes, if you're not watching, it's not too late. You can start watching Poldark on PBS. You don't even need a TV. If you have a computer, you can watch the show. So,
yeah.
So everybody needs to jump in on this one. Yeah.
Yeah. My DVR did not record the right episode on Sunday night, so I panicked. And then I just went over to, you know, pbs.com or .org or whatever it is. And there it was, full episodes.
So I love how you say, Leanne, your DVR did not record the right episode. There was no operator error in
No, I actually am good at this stuff.
Yes, you are. Yes,
remember, I'm not a boomer. I'm good. No, it was listed as episode 2, but it was episode 1. So there was a technical difficulty that was not mine, Julie. I'm very solid in DVRing. I'm okay. Kind of our DVR expert here at the house, actually. So, okay, but we are going to get to Poldark and Handsome at the end of the show. But first, Julie, what's happening in Colorado?
Well, Leanne, yesterday was opening day of Nana Camp 2015. That's right. Nana Camp is now open. We're open for business. It's going to be a month-long camp. And I have two campers that enrolled this year. That would be my 8-year-old granddaughter, Alice, and my 6-year-old grandson, Benjamin. And they are out here with me for the month. Their parents are going to be arriving at the end of the month. But Nana's running a camp for the full summer. Now, which
Julie, that is so lovely of you. I mean, that is really nice because, you know, as someone who, you know, was a working mom when my kids are little, having that option to get the kids like to the fresh air in the mountains with Nana, that's unbelievable. That's just very nice of you.
Well, you know, Leanne, I feel like there is a window of opportunity for this that Alice and Benjamin, when they're snarly teenagers, are probably not going to want to spend the summer with me.
Right.
But right now, they think I'm great.
Yeah.
So, and I think they're great. So that part of it is really, really exciting. But, you know, their parents are working parents. So this is, you know, this is really nice for them to, you know, for that the kids have something really fun to do. Dallas is stinking hot in the summer.
Right,
Leanne.
I know.
So that's it. There's also a cultural part of this too, Leanne, that, as you know, my daughter-in-law Vera is Russian, and it is very common in Russia that during the summer months, you know, when people, let's say, if you live in Moscow, that many children spend their summers out in the countryside with grandparents at the little dachas, the little cottages. So Vera was totally comfortable with the idea that Alice and Benjamin would be spending time away with their grandparents. So, you know, because that's how they do it in Russia. And that's how when she grew up, she spent the summer, you know, with her grandparents because her parents were working.
Okay, so
a little cultural thing there. Sure. So my camp is not a theme camp, Leon. It's not a computer camp. It's not a weight camp. We're going to be offering a wide variety of activities. So there's going to be hiking. There's going to be fishing. There's going to be swimming. There's going to be we're going to do some bicycle riding. But on our way up to – we drove to Colorado. On our way up, as you go up Highway 70, you see zip lining along the highway.
Oh, gosh.
And they all said, both Alice and Benjamin were like, oh, can we do zip lining? Can we do that? There's no zip lining at Nana
No.
Camp.
No.
You know, I'm not getting into it. Their parents want to do that with them, but it's just, I'm actually struck with a huge responsibility it is.
Yeah.
To like, you know, you and I both went to summer camp,
right,
and we have very fond memories of summer camp. But my gosh, how do you run a summer camp with all those kids, right?
And they're doing sort of inherently dangerous things.
Right.
You know, they're out in the wild, or they're swimming in lakes, or, you know, they're water skiing when they've never water skied before. You know, there's a lot of unsupervised time at summer camp, even though there's good supervision, but that's sort of the best part. You know, when I think about like my summer camp, it was on the lakes, as many are, on the shores of a lake. Like, what was stopping us from swimming at night or drowning in that lake?
Know.
Nothing.
That's right. We were like sleeping in cabins. Why, you know, how did that work? You know, they were like, we're young kids. Why didn't we like run away?
There were
no locks on those doors. I mean, I know you have counselors in there, but yes, I was thinking about it this morning, like how that was, I just don't even understand how they operate summer camps, you know, because
it's just a liability.
So I didn't have any waivers. I didn't get any waivers signed. But we're going to stay away from zip lining. And another big thing here in Steamboat Springs, of course, is hot air ballooning. We're not doing that either. That's out at Nana Camp. Okay? All right. They're going to have to go to some other camp or do, but not on my time.
Right.
Okay? I'm not going up in one of those. But I am looking forward to it. You know, if it's successful in future summers, I hope to have other campers, mainly other grandchildren. They're invited to this. But day one is, you know, I mean, day one went very well.
Are you instituting a rest hour? I would suggest
that. Oh, yeah. We're going to have rest hour, Lynn. You definitely need a break. Yeah. So everybody needs a break, but we're going to be pretty unplugged this summer, Leon. Not a lot of TV, not a lot of games or anything. It's going to be kind of old fashioned. Got checkers out. We got puzzles going.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to try to do. So,
excellent. Oh, well, Nana Camp sounds good. Maybe are you running an adult camp later on this summer?
Well, I could if it's successful, but I'm sure those adults will make me sign waivers and want to do zip lining and hot air ballooning, which I will have none of. So anyway, but it is summer. I am happy to be here. You know, I'm feeling it, Leon. And I think, you know, what put me in the mood is on our Facebook group page, you posted your award-winning 4th of July ice cream watermelon recipe.
Thank you, Julie.
And I was thinking, okay, that could be an activity for summer camp because, you know, I'm a little weak in the arts and crafts area, but I'm Let's just face it.
Yeah.
Right now, I just gave them some chalk and they're out like in the driveway doing something. Okay. So that's the crafting project for the moment. So, you know, I'm weak on that, but I'm strong in the kitchen, Leon. I'm strong in the kitchen. So I thought we might be able to make that, but in some time I'm excited about it. And so, you know, in the spirit of Leon Dolan, what does Leon do in the summertime? She always buys summertime magazines. So that's what I did. I bought for the head counselor. I thought during my rest hour, I needed some magazines. And I came across an article, Leanne, in that health magazine. Don't you always
read that? I love health magazine.
Okay. It seems to be mainly a food magazine, Leanne. Is that right? Yeah. Do I have that right?
I mean, okay. It has departments. There is a surprising amount of food, though. Healthy food. But yes, healthy there's food. A lot of food.
Okay. But I just love this article, Leanne, because this is, are you feeling good about your body? Not good about your body? Guess what? You have something else you can blame it on. Okay. I love this. It is, if you feel sluggish, bloated, irritated, guess what? It's not your fault, Leanne. It's not what you ate, or it's not the fact that you didn't exercise. It's just the weather. Okay. Oh, how about that?
That is good.
Think about that, Leanne. Yeah. You know, when it's hot out, that your body's built-in AC has one major problem: keeping your insides from overheating. So when it's hot, your blood vessels expand, and that shuttles more hot blood to your face, okay? And this creates problems with your pores and forces you to, like, sweat more. So that humidity can really hinder your skin condition. Also, when it's really hot out, Leanne, yeah, bad news for your hands and feet. You know why?
That I have definitely. Sure.
Do you have this? Because during the heat, when it's a total sweat fest, water, this sounds disgusting, it can leak from your veins, Leanne, causing your extremities to balloon. Do you have any ballooning extremities?
No, and please do not say the word sebaceous cysts after this, because we had to hear all about that.
I cannot go there, but you might have ballooning extremities, so you better watch out for that, okay?
Well, don't you notice that when you try to put your shoes on? Like, yes, at the end in the hot day, you're like, why? These shoes do not fit. Okay, I will wear other shoes. Yep.
But it also, the heat can affect your kidneys and your gut. I didn't realize this.
Because
these blood vessels around your kidneys contract, squelching your urge to, you know, to relieve yourself. So again, you're overstressing your organs. Okay. So that's making you feel bad. Okay.
Okay.
And then you can't, and your digestion, your body is shutting down. It cannot digest food. So
really?
You're right. Yeah. Because of the heat. See, it's not you, Leanne, it's the weather. But here's the one I think, which when I got to the end of this article, like, if you're blaming all your body problems on your on the weather, okay,
yeah,
I think you got a problem there. And they said it's because of your brain, that if you lose just 2% of your body weight through sweat, this can mess with your mind and your mood, Leah. And that's
lot of sweat. I mean, I have to say.
2%? Yes.
Of your body? Yeah, I mean, I don't do the math.
But if it's hot out, okay? All I'm saying is, I don't know. I think a 17-year-old wrote this article. I don't know. It's Jessica is the author. Jessica.
Oh, Jess? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Jess. I don't know. I think she just made this up because she was feeling a little bloated and sluggish and irritated. And so she wanted to blame it on something, and she blamed it on the weather.
It does. So. It sounds vaguely unscientific.
Anyway, but if you need something, if you're looking for some kind of somewhere else to put the blame away from you, just blame it on the weather.
Okay, so, we'll do, because it is hot. It's going to be 101 here today. It's slightly humid. It's hot and sticky here. So
yeah,
I was feeling bad. So now I feel better that I feel bad.
Yeah. Okay. Just watch out for your brain. Okay. Your hands and your feet. Hey, I did see something in Real Simple magazine, which, you know, this is the time of year when people are taking vacations with their families. And this was an article about 5 keys to a peaceful family vacation. How about that? All right.
I'll take it.
Okay.
What
are they? First thing, Leanne, first thing is we all have to make sacrifices. You're going on vacation with other people. Okay. Some people would like to sit on the beach. Some people want to go to a mountain. Okay. You're not going to please everyone. So people just have to make sacrifices. And then you have to zip it, Leanne. You have to.
Well, that sounds like a super vacation.
Okay? Okay. See, but that's what you can learn. Maybe if you make that slight adjustment about where you want to go, it's going to be more peaceful. If the object is to spend time with your family, Leanne, this is what you want to do.
I would just like to say the mountains and the beach are completely different. Someone who has made that, I don't want to use the word sacrifice, but often forced with that choice. And the mountains win. I like the beach.
Okay, Leanne, here's the second way that you can have a more peaceful vacation with your friend. Eat in, with your family. Eat in, Leanne, okay? Is that restaurants are stressful.
Yeah.
You can, yeah, I mean, let's just face it. You know, big family, small family. You try to go out to a restaurant. If you have kids, it's going to be stressful. So if at least if you eat in, you know, you're taking away that. You don't, you know, it's not going to be as costly, hopefully. It's, you know, you're, if the kids are running around, nobody cares. If you have picky eaters in your family, and there's a lot of picky eaters now, right, Leanne?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so eat in for that. Number three, Leanne, you got to know your limits. That you have to, that your vacation, your family vacation is going to be the speed, you know, the pace of it is going to be set by the person who is the slowest. The slowest common denominator. So if you have a toddler in a group that, you know, takes a long time to, you know, has naps, has to eat multiple meals, or if you're traveling with elderly people, you're not going to be able to do 14 things in a day, you know? And so, or if you just have someone in your family who's slow, okay, you need to know, right?
This sounds like a terrible vacation. Can I say, like, you're at the place where you don't want to be. You're cooking and cleaning up all the meals, and you're moving at the speed of a toddler. Wow. Okay. What else do I have to compromise to be with the people I love?
Leanne, okay, now this is the key, number four, to a very successful family vacation. One that I know the Dolan family has used on many occasions, which is to escape from each other. That on, right?
Yeah.
On all family vacations, people who don't normally spend 24 hours a day with each other really shouldn't be spending 24 hours a day with each other. You need time alone, time by yourself to do separate things and then come back together. Okay. And I think this is good for all ages, you know, for grandparents, parents, teenagers, toddlers, everybody needs time away. Okay. You can buy into this vacation.
Yes. And
finally, this is a more subtle point, but one to keep in mind, that plan for late afternoon crankiness. That apparently
from everyone
gets, you've had a day at the beach, you come back, there's the, you know, a couple of hours there, but it's time for dinner. This is when people get irritable, Liam. This is when things can happen. This is when, you know, you can say something you're going to regret later on. And it impacts all ages. So again, this is the time for like some activities, quiet activities, small group activities, not some big giant activity altogether. Or maybe a cocktail. I don't know, Liam. That might help the late afternoon crankiness, but I think these are things you could keep in mind, because we all want to get along, Leanne. Okay, right? We want to have a successful family vacation.
But certainly the idea of doing everything all together all day long, you're right, that's not a successful plan. So making some accommodations, really, I can get on board with that.
Okay. So just how many accommodations are you able to make before you get resentful, Leanne? I'm not sure. Something to keep in mind, which is how I can segue to another story, not necessarily related to summer, but certainly related to family dynamics. There is a new study that came out on Monday, published by the Journal of American Medical Journal of Pediatrics on sibling violence. This is that.
That's the term, sibling violence?
Yes, sibling violence. Oh, okay. That, I mean, getting punched by your brother or sister sometimes is, I mean, that's sort of a slightly painful rite of passage. But for many children in the U.S., it is now, you know, the journal is calling these assaults. And that they are saying for all ages grouped together, 37% of all children experience some kind of physical assault in the previous year by their sibling. And they conducted a pretty big survey in the 2013-2014 year, where they did phone interviews with 4,000 randomly selected kids. Okay.
Okay.
And 37% said that they had been assaulted. Okay. And 41% of the kids surveyed said they had more than one direct experience with violence or assault. So that this is pretty common that kids these days are facing, you know, maybe greater mistreatment within their own families.
Do you think that's true?
I don't know, Leanne. I saw this survey. I think it's the first of its kind. They said that, you know, the results show that, you know, children under the age of 18 are exposed to a lot of violence. They, you know, the study said, you know, this needs to be really monitored much more closely. And it may be that, you know, this is sort of the first of its kind in terms of really looking, you know, a sort of a snapshot of what's going on, you know, in terms of interaction with siblings or how much of it is coming from siblings. Because I don't know. And because we have siblings in our family. Yes. And there was violence in our family.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's how you define violence. And,
yes.
You know, I've certainly had conversations with my husband, like, why does the older son always do that to the younger son? He should stop it. And it, you know, Colin may characterize it as violence, but the older siblings would go, oh, no, it's just normal behavior. But yeah, I mean, our brothers used to beat the stuffing out of us. I mean,
yes.
Brendan used to literally beat the stuffing out of me with the pillow. We'd set up a boxing ring and he would just beat me with that pillow as hard as he could. And he was 3 years older than me and had, you know, 50 pounds on me. Brendan was a big kid growing up.
Yes.
And yeah, that, and I just kept going back in the ring. As I was going to get him one day. And I was like, is that violence? Is that what they mean?
I don't know, Leanne.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I haven't seen the questions. I'm going to look into it a little more, but it's just, you know, and this is, you know, but I don't know if what was going on in that homemade boxing ring between you and Brendan is considered an assault.
Right.
You
know, yeah. I don't know.
Was your brother assaulting you or was your brother just beating the stuffing out of me
with the pillow?
I don't know, Leanne. And it's, you know, and certainly, you know, but I think all parents have to be cognizant of it, or, you know, if violence is not only coming from the siblings, is it coming from peers? Are you know, kids more likely to punch each other these days, to shove each other, to pull hair? I don't know.
There is no doubt. I have two boys. They are violent. They beat each other up. I mean, I say that gently, like obviously they're not getting in fist fights, but there's towel snapping, there's shoving, there's like wrestling. It's a much more physical relationship than say you and I have.
Right.
You know,
well,
I mean,
let's just say, but I mean, we had some violence among sisters too. Of course there was.
I was not part of that.
You were the youngest. We tried to keep you out of the fray, you know, keep, you know, cause
you really paid no attention to me.
I didn't really care at all what you were doing, Leanne. So, I had my own battles to fight. That was with my two older brothers. Okay. I was the tip of the spear, Leanne. I was leading the female contingent, Liz and I, Sheila and Monica were not much help on that front. They were fighting their own battles, literally, you know? So I'm going to look into this survey to find out like what they characterized as an assault,
right?
What they're calling violence and how much, but I mean, when I think about it, yes, there were some things were thrown, fists, chairs, clogs, you name it, some rocks, but we've grown up as adults and we have a great deal of respect and love for each other now. So I guess I see it as sort of a rite of passage rather than something that marred my childhood. Well, it did mar my childhood.
That's the thing, right? I mean, you remember
it.
It was painful.
Yes, I do remember it.
It didn't.
It has shaped the person I've become.
That's right. And it's just, I guess.
I'm going to look into this, Leanne. But But do I feel like it needs to be a crime statistic, what was going on inside family?
Right.
No, that's where I draw the line.
Right.
Okay. So,
yeah. Okay.
And it wasn't as if our parents condoned this kind of violence. You know, they asked us to get along. We just didn't. Okay.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, right. They did not turn a blind eye, but they really didn't turn any eye. They were not watching over us with the same vigilance that parents do today. Some parents do today.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I did shoot that arrow at Brendan.
Yes, you did.
Because he had just,
that's a whole, that's a felony, Liam.
It's
a weapon. You used an assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah,
you were in a different category.
I know, but that's, it was years of brutality. That's what I mean. Like we sold Burpee Seeds and I got that bow and arrow and then I had an opportunity and I just shot it at him and he escaped the arrow. I didn't hit him. Let it be said.
Is that what you told the judge? Is that what you're going to tell him? Okay. All right.
Okay. Look into that. All right. On another sort of serious family story, there was a documentary on CNN this weekend about Glenn Campbell and his fight with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it, Julie. Did you?
I did. I wasn't able to see it, Lynn. I'm hoping to see it though. Cause I think it's on my radar screen. It's a very interesting story. It's obviously close to our heart because our father had Alzheimer's and you know, I know that he's been using music as a way to stay connected. I mean, that's been very moving to me to watch that, moving and painful to see. Yeah.
I know. I do have the documentary on my DVR, but I haven't watched it yet, partly because we did live through our dad going through Alzheimer's. And I just didn't know if I could handle the documentary. And so there's a follow-up story today in the newspaper that since the documentary has been shot, which was over the course of 2012 and 2013, as we know happens with Alzheimer's, his condition has deteriorated as such, where his wife has now put her husband in a home in Nashville, Tennessee, and that has created some family tension. And now here's the situation. It's a very tense situation being anyone's caregiver. You have to get everyone in your family on the same page. That just helps take a lot of the stress, some of the stress out of it. But Glenn Campbell has been married 4 times and has 5 sons and 4 daughters.
Oh, dear.
So that's a lot of people to get on the same page in terms of end of life care. That's an unwinnable challenge, I think. But his daughter, Debbie, who's 53, is complaining that the stepmother, or Glenn Campbell's wife, whose name is Kim, and she's in her 50s, has put him in this home and that he's home alone. And you know, he went from this big mansion to a small bedroom and a sofa and how terrible that is. And she feels like he should come to her house so she can care for him. And, you know, it's one of those things. Alzheimer's is terrible. It's hard to describe what the care is like in the last phases of their life. It's beyond 24 hours. And it gets to a place where there's a real safety issue for everyone involved.
Yeah.
So while I understand it's easy to say, oh, he shouldn't be in a home, come live with me. I also think as someone who's lived through it, like, no, you're not going to want him living with you at the end of his life, or you would need full-time help to help you care for him. And I'm pretty sure that Glenn Campbell's wife has kind of looked around and said, this is actually our best solution, because the truth of the matter is they don't know that they're living in one room with one chair.
Yeah.
That's fine. They need to be safe. They need 24 hours of care. She's making the point that he has friends in Nashville. They come by. She's there every day. They have activities and therapy. And Julie, you saw that. We did put our dad in a care facility at the end of his life because it would have been impossible to try to imagine giving him that same level of attention at home, right?
No, that's absolutely true. And I think that, I mean, your operating assumption should not be that the care is substandard in nursing homes and facilities. And I, you know, you and I, our family witnessed, you know, the very good professional care that our dad got at the end of his life. And
right.
That, you know, we were there and even with that professional care, because of the nature of the disease, you know, and it's different for every single patient.
Right.
That's the things that's so, so incredible about Alzheimer's, that and the course of the disease, you don't know. It's so unpredictable that, you know, that we had, you know, we had care upon care upon care. We had a lot of people just to try to keep my dad, our dad, safe, right?
Just yeah. And one of the things is, just because they're in a home doesn't mean you're like, oh, good, it's all over for me now.
No,
that's not, that's, I think, a real misperception when anyone goes into a care facility with anything, really, is that, oh, good, I can just, you know, sit home and eat bonbons. No, I mean, you're still actively involved.
Yeah.
Every day, a lot of phone calls, a lot of decisions to be made. It's not I think the idea that you sort of dump someone in a home is not true. I mean, maybe that happens with some people, but you can have a completely different experience with a nursing care facility where you can be actively involved. You just at least get some break where you can go home and sleep in safety for both you and the patient.
Right, right. And it may be that, you know, just even the simple things of bathing, dressing, caring for, you know, medications for your loved one are beyond your abilities,
right?
You know, that you just physically can't do it or not qualified to do it. And so that, you know, that's another consideration too. I am very grateful for the care that our dad got in the end of his life. So, I mean, this circumstance, I don't know.
Right.
But it's, you know, but it's not a simple answer. Then it's for some people it will be to keep their loved ones in their home. But in other cases, it will be that you need plenty of help, and you might find that more in a nursing home setting. So that's,
and the truth is, their world just gets very, very small at the end.
It
gets very small. So, yeah. You know, what looks to you like inadequate space or something is just fine for them. It's manageable for everybody involved. So I just saw that story. It caught my attention, and several people had asked me if I'd seen the Glenn Campbell documentary, Knowing Our Family's History, and I haven't yet. But I thought I would mention that. June is Alzheimer's Awareness Month, and there's been a lot in the press lately about Alzheimer's, which is good. People need to know, and we're here as a reference and a resource for anyone who's going through it. All right, now on to a completely different story, and this is the only in LA story where the Archdiocese wants to sell a convent to Katy Perry. Okay.
What?
Okay. All right.
Explain. Okay.
Here's the deal. There's this beautiful convent that belongs to the Nuns of the Immaculate Heart Order. Now, it's in Los Feliz, which is sort of up looking over Hollywood. If you're familiar, it is beautiful. If you're familiar with Los Angeles, Immaculate Heart was a big school. At one point, it was a college. That's why there's a convent there. The college was sold off to be the American Film Institute. There's still a high school that exists, the Immaculate Heart High School. And then there was this beautiful convent behind it where at one point over 50 nuns in the order lived. And slowly but surely, the nuns aged up and died off, and the order was reduced to 5 nuns. And about 2 or 3 years ago, the Archdiocese said, okay, it's kind of stupid that only 5 nuns are living in this giant property that's worth $14 to $15 million. So this is where it gets legally murky, because the nuns are saying they had permission from the bishop here in Los Angeles to sell the property. It's their property. They should be allowed to sign it. And the Archdiocese is saying, well, not really. It's our property. But I mentioned this story just because involves Katy Perry. And Steve Lopez, who's a columnist here in the LA Times, went to talk to the nuns. Now, the youngest of the 5 remaining nuns is 77 years old. Okay. So what these nuns did, they're just tired of the Archdiocese telling them what to do, basically. So they sold the property to a restaurateur, okay, who would like to create like a B&B boutique hotel at the convent.
Sounds lovely. Okay.
That does sound nice. And they were very happy with their $14.5 million, all of it in cash that they got from the restaurateur.
That's a nice deal. Okay, good.
But in the meantime, the Archdiocese was working behind the scenes to sell the property to Katy Perry, who claims she's wanted to live there for years. And so,
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share? Would you like to?
You know, I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you are going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because yep. it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Why is that? Does she want to be a nun now, Katie?
You should see this property, Julie. You would want to live there too. I mean, it is beautiful. You know, one of those classic 1920s kind of Italian Mediterranean style buildings with turrets and fountains. And it's a beautiful property in a really great area in Los Angeles. So that's why she wants to live there. So here's the deal, though. The Archdiocese was still trying to work the Katy Perry deal. So they were trying to convince the nuns, the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart, to go with Katy Perry. And the writer Steve Lopez says, you know, the nuns who were 77 through 86, they were familiar with Perry Como, but not Katy Perry. So
that's a good line. Okay. Yeah.
So
I can see that they probably aren't up on it.
Yeah. So the youngest of the nuns, Sister Rita Callanan, who's 77, she went to check out Katy Perry. She said she found some of her videos online. And if it's all right to say, I wasn't too happy with any of it. And then
I like that. See, this is the thing. There's an internet now. So the Sister Rita can look that up. Okay.
And then Sister Rita found out that Katy Perry would be performing at the Super Bowl halftime show last year. So again, she wanted to check her out. She tuned her in and she sang that song Teenage Dream, which if yes. you listen to the lyrics, is just basically filthy. Okay. And Sister Rita did not enjoy that. And then, as you remember, Katy Perry was lifted off the ground and flew around on the stadium as if she were riding a shooting star.
Yes.
And Sister Rita said she thought watching that, is that a way to make money? Maybe I could fly around. I could be the flying nun.
Okay, sassy Sister Rita here. Sassy sister. Okay, okay.
So they decided, no, they don't want to sell to her. And as Sister Rita said, we've given many years to this archdiocese and we have served them well. For the archdiocese to put us under a bus and run over us, well, I'm sorry. It was just too much for me.
Well, good for her.
Good for her.
I really, you know, I mean, it is an unusual relationship that between the role of nuns, religious women in the Catholic Church,
yes.
right? It is not that equality has not been struck.
No.
But they play an incredibly important role. And I, you know, I appreciate that and admire Sister Rita standing up for, you know, for her nuns and for her property. And saying no to Katy Perry.
Well, here's the deal. Then Katy Perry came to them. Now they're trying, the nuns have already sold it. The archdiocese is trying to vacate the sale. The restaurateur has moved in. They're trying to move her out. So Katy Perry is still trying. She's not giving up. So she came, she met with the nuns. She was dressed very demurely. Okay. She sang.
She didn't have any like sort of like fireworks brassiere going on or anything like that.
She was not wearing a corset.
Okay.
She sang Oh Happy Day to them. And then she showed them the Jesus tattoo on her wrist. Okay. And she said that she wanted to move in with her mother and her grandmother. And she wanted to meditate, sip tea, and find herself at their beautiful convent. But, you know, Sister Rita, not really having it.
I am sure people have... I mean, if she's been there, you know, she's heard things. She has met Katy Perry in an earlier life, right? Don't you think? Katy Perry types.
So, I'll keep you updated on this story because it's so good. I admire those nuns there at the Immaculate Heart. They're very cool. They were the cool nuns. All right. Now we're on to sporting notes from all over. Just a reminder, if you're listening to us on Tuesday, that today is the semifinal match, the U.S. Women's World Cup. U.S. plays Germany. It is on the Big Fox channel. So even if you don't have cable, you should be able to get it. So, Julie,
What do you think, Leon?
I think it's going to be a tough game. The U.S. has not scored a lot of goals. And right. for whatever reason, it could be the turf, it could be the heat, they haven't scored a lot of goals. On the other hand, we do have Hope Solo. And while I am very uncomfortable that she is on the team and the way that whole domestic violence case was handled by U.S. Soccer and FIFA, I'm very uncomfortable with that. I will say this. She's the best player on the U.S. team. I mean, she's fantastic, and she's a fantastic goalie. So, you know, hopefully she will be able to shut down Germany, not let them score. And if the U.S. can get a goal, we might have a shot. But Germany's a very good team. So is that going to be part of Nana Camp? Is that an activity this afternoon?
No, that is not on the schedule. Again, it's TV, right? You went to camp. You missed a lot of events, right?
You did.
It's only royal weddings. That's the only time you get to watch TV at camp. No, we have a big hiking, swimming afternoon.
All right. Moving on now. Wimbledon is happening. Day two of Wimbledon today. So I just wanted to alert people that over on the Tennis Channel, which does require cable, Mary Carrillo, one of our favorite satellites, sisters who I just love. She's so relaxed and comfortable in any sports setting. And obviously she was a professional tennis player and she doesn't take sports so seriously. So we love her on the Olympics. She's doing the primetime show over there. So it was fun to see her last night. But last night, I don't know if you caught the Leighton Hewitt match yesterday. Now Leighton Hewitt is the Australian. And at one point he was the Wimbledon champion, but after 17 years as a professional player, it was his last match yesterday. And he lost in a five-setter to like a journeyman Finnish player who's also been on the tour for 15 years. But here's what I loved about it. They showed, you know, the last set went to like 10-8 or 11-9 or something like that. There's no tiebreakers in the fifth set at Wimbledon. So they showed a good 45 minutes of it on the recap show. You got to love the Australians. Okay. There was a group of Australians there, all decked out in, you know, matching t-shirts that said Oz Fanatics, and they sang and clapped and cheered between every point for Leighton Hewitt. It was fantastic. So.
Yes, Leanne, they're a very enthusiastic group. They come up from down under and they just go for it, Leanne, you know, because then they have to go back, you know, yeah. So they really went wherever they travel, wherever they go, they're such wonderful people. Yes, I can imagine.
And they timed their like singing and chanting to just that like 28 seconds in between points. So the umpire never had to ask them to be quiet. It would just be, they were singing a lot of Hey Jude, but it was Hey Hewitt. That's what they were singing. Na-na-na-na. So it's just, but it was perfectly timed, but between every point, it just made it really fun. And so even though we lost, it was great. So well done, Australians. I hope there are some other Australian tennis players you can root for, because that was excellent. And then, Julie, this is what's happening today on the Olympic front here in California. Now, you know, maybe you don't recall, but last spring, Boston's bid for the 2024 Olympic Games narrowly edged out Los Angeles's bid to be the official U.S. city.
Okay.
But in the months since then, they have to confirm that it's that they're in the final stages. The USOC is in the final stages of that. And then they're going to put it forth to the International Olympic Committee. In the intervening months, the support amongst Bostonians for being the official city has dropped dramatically. Only 39% of Bostonians want to spend the money. They don't believe that it's going to cost the amount that it says it's going to cost. They don't believe they're going to make money. They think it's just going to be this financial, you know, pit that they'll never be able to dig themselves out of. And for good reason. Many of the last Olympic summer games have been, you know, a huge financial downfall for countries like Greece.
Okay? Yes.
Like
poor Greece.
Poor Greece. And now they have, you know, billion-dollar stadiums that are empty. Okay. So, you know, if Greece is a lesson, so Boston's last minute, Boston's bid is in danger. But guess who's waiting in the wings, Julie? Los Angeles. We are ready.
Okay, so, yes,
we are ready.
LA has already done some excellent Olympics. Right?
And we made money, Julie. We actually made money. There are facilities all over Los Angeles that were built, like the Rose Bowl Aquatic Center, with money from the LA Games. We are ready. We already have the Pauley Pavilion and the Coliseum. We've got beaches for beach volleyball. We don't have to put fake sand anywhere. We've got it. We are good to go. We are waiting in the wings. And, you know, because we've already done it and we did a good job and we really wanted the 2024 games. We were really disappointed when Boston got the nod. We're ready. So Boston, here's what I would say. Don't feel bad. Just go back to doing what you do best, which is, I guess, like chowder festivals. Okay. And leave the big games to us. Okay. You run that head of the Charles. That's neat. And then we'll take the world. Okay.
Really,
don't feel bad.
This really stems from the fact that you hate the Red Sox, right? That you are a Yankees fan and you hate the Red Sox. What this is all about.
I was disappointed that they got to bid in the beginning, and because, you know, Boston is not a big city. And we are.
It might make it easier to get around to the venues, Leanne, but okay.
Not if the venues don't exist, Julie. Not if they don't exist. So there you go, Boston. Don't worry. We are here. Just stick to the chowder festivals. Okay. I'm going to hear from all the Bostonians.
Yes,
but they
are.
Don't want it. Only 39% of people want the Olympics. We want it here. Bring it on. Bring it on.
I think there could be some nice events out on the Cape, Leanne. I think you should reconsider it. But okay.
It's not me. It's the Bostonians reconsidering. I'm just saying, we're ready. Okay, we got your back, Boston. We got your back. All right, Julie, now it's exciting. It's time for our recap of the PBS series Pull Dark, and we are calling it Pull Dark and Handsome. Let me get my notes together because I was just, where are my notes? Where'd they go? I was scribbling when I was...
I know, it was... Okay, it's an excellent episode.
Yes.
If you haven't watched it, it's on PBS, as we said at the top of the podcast. You know, just jump in on this one. You won't regret it. I mean, this is... we've seen two episodes. They've been excellent. And, you know, you don't need special cable for this. You can watch it anywhere, anytime. It's not, it's not appointment TV. And just do it. It's good. It's worth it.
All right. So we'll just do a brief recap here. Poldark is, he is an English gentleman. He went off to fight in the American Revolution, obviously on the wrong side. He comes back to the family home in Cornwall, and he discovers that the girl he left in Cornwall that he loved, Elizabeth, has gone off and is engaged to be married to his cousin, a blonde,
a wimpy, blonder,
less than version of Ross Poldark. And that's going to break his heart. He also discovers that his father has died and left him the estate. But unfortunately, the estate's in a lot of debt. It's in terrible shape. There's no actual revenue producing things happening. There's just two people that seem to run the estate, which I'm calling them Mr. and Mrs. Drunkard. Is that...
That's a fine name. That seems to be mostly what they're doing.
Okay.
I mean, there's nobody's getting paid at this estate, Leon. It's sort of like crowdsourcing or something. Just show up and drink and move some hay around. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So at the end of the first episode, we see that Poldark, basically his uncle wants him to leave town, pays him to leave town because there's nothing for him here, and wants him out of the way because he can tell that Elizabeth, the, you know, love who's marrying the cousin, she still loves him. And the uncle whose son is the wimpy cousin, he wants Poldark out of the way for that reason. But Poldark decides to stay. He has the support of the people, his regiment. The men from his regiment still live on the estate in Cornwall. They love him. And miraculously, he found himself a housemaid at the farmer's market there in Cornwall. She was being beaten by her family and terribly treated. So he brought her home. He washed her hair, and she's a supermodel. So we're here at episode 2 now, Poldark, and episode 2 is really all about getting the copper mine that's been unused back into working order so that they can make some money, the men of the town can be employed, the evil bankers have just shut down the one existing copper mine that wasn't producing enough, so Poldark wants to go around their back and start this other copper mine up again. It's his family copper mine. But in the beginning of this episode 2, there we have the supermodel. And Julie, what is she doing? Do you recall? Hello, governor.
She's still in the filthy clothes.
I know.
Okay, that's like she's wearing the same filthy clothes that she wore in the last episode with her very bad, you know,
Cockney accent. Hello, governor.
Yeah. But she's washing her hair. She's doing the no poo shampoo, Leanne.
That's exactly what I thought, Julie.
I just no poo shampoo. And it had dramatic results. The same that I'm seeing with my no poo shampoo, Leanne, which is I am not putting a lot of, you know, a soap in my hair. It's not stripping away the natural oils. And that's what she's doing as well. So, and she washes her hair, and, you know, outside under the water well, and boom, supermodel. Okay.
So a lot of this episode in the beginning, a lot happens. So the copper mine plan is underway. But first, Poldark has to go to a dance, which is always good in these kind of British drama.
Thank heavens for country dances.
Yeah. Yes.
He was invited by Verity, his cousin, with the very unfortunate nose. Wouldn't you say that?
You know, she is the Lady Edith of Poldark.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, right?
That's it, Leanne. That's it.
It's the same character, just like going to be unlucky in love and unlucky in life. She cannot buy a break, this Verity.
I know.
And so they go to the country dance, and Verity meets a sea captain. And within, I don't know, like 12 to 15 minutes, she's in love with him.
Seconds. It's 12 seconds, Liam. I mean, he took one look at her and said, may I marry you? Okay. And again, because she's a good woman that continues to make bad choices, okay, she's interested in him. Oh, but little problem. He's a killer sea captain, Liam.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah, he killed his first wife. Okay, that is not good, Liam.
In the meantime, Ross Poldark has a like a hot and heavy dance with Elizabeth, who is now married to his wimpy cousin. But apparently this dance done in slow motion attracted the attention of everybody in town. And things are whispering. Young women were trying to get Poldark's attention, but he only has eyes for Elizabeth, his cousin's wife.
And I thought it was quite brazen, Leon. I have to admit, when he went over there and just said, I'm going to dance with Elizabeth. I mean, she's newly like married, right?
Yes.
So, I mean.
And as we learn later on in the episode, newly knocked up. Right?
Yes, Leon.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is surprising from the wimpy husband, but nonetheless, okay. So, I mean, it was brazen, but it was an excellent dance. It was very satisfying to watch. And then they had their like these stolen moments to talk together. You know, it was really quite a bit. There's still a lot of fire between the two of them.
There is a lot of fire. And here's the problem, though. Elizabeth's husband, we've seen earlier, he's trying to get some fire started with her, too. And
yes.
She's almost having none of it. And I have to say, Julie, I mean, she literally made her bed. She's got to lie in it, right? I mean, you know,
yes,
she married that guy. She
yes,
could have bailed,
did.
And she did not. Yes. She married him. So,
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going.
Oh.
Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
Her mother kind of forced her to marry him. You know, she said that she should, you're right, Leanne. She did marry him. She took him willingly. And, you know, she wanted to have the fancy lifestyle and, and she had that. So she shouldn't be moving around the dance floor with pole dart, do you think?
No. And in the meantime, okay, he's setting up the business. He's got a coalition of local business owners who are all set to go on the copper mine. They're shutting out the evil bankers that we've seen. In the meantime, the evil banker is set on turning Poldark's cousin against Poldark. He's kind of the Iago, if you will, playing the Iago role.
Ooh, excellent Shakespearean
Thank
reference,
you. Firing okay. up the cousin's jealousy towards Poldark. And that's going to really be bad in the end here of this episode. But the copper mine is going to go forward, which is exciting. That's good business. But Julie, can I say a couple things? First of all, there's been some talk. I mentioned last week that this Aidan Turner was Irish. He was American because that's what I read in Entertainment Weekly. But he's not. He's Irish. Okay.
That makes him. Okay.
Yes, I did further research on him. Dublin born, classically trained actor, and I can see that from the way he strides around. In his tight pants and linen shirt. He also appears to be an excellent swimmer, as we have.
Yes, Leanne, it's a good swimming scene. Yes.
And yes, there's a scene where he's riding home after his hot and steamy dance with Elizabeth, and then she has to go home with her husband. He takes refuge with a prostitute at the local tavern, and then he's cleaning himself off afterwards. And I don't know about you, Julie, but after watching that scene, I know I had to put the show on pause. And then I went to look to see if there's a Viking cruise in Cornwall. I enjoy swimming. And that looked like some good swimming there. That's all I want to say.
Yes, it did. And who was watching the swimming, Leanne?
Yes, the supermodel house girl. Demelza.
Yes, who got some kind of fashion upgrade. She got a slightly better looking outfit, which made her look even more attractive. But she was sort of hiding in the high grass there, watching Poldark and Handsome swim around there. And it was a brisk swim, right, Leanne?
It was brisk. It was brisk for all of us. Mm-hmm. And then Poldark, besides swimming, he also enjoys riding a lot. And we saw him ride on.
Okay. What is that?
It's my galloping horse sound effect. Because he does a lot of galloping. I mean, I have a note here called The Constant Galloper. Remember that movie, The Constant Gardener? But he's like the Constant Galloper. Like every other scene, he's galloping across Cornwall for some reason, isn't he?
Yes, Leanne, there's no reason to ride slowly, okay? There's no reason to it.
And I did read in my research that he is a rider from way back, that he loves riding, Julie, and that he really enjoys that. The real Aidan Turner.
Leon, I'm so glad you did all this extra research for our Poldark and Handsome report.
Thank you. Okay. So now the plot carries on. There's more meetings with the business people. But then right in the middle of it, what does Demelza, the housemaid, get, Julie? She gets a makeover.
Yes, she
does.
Oh,
we love a makeover. Yes. She gets a new cape. That's exciting.
Yes. She's looking good, Leanne. Looking good.
That just made me laugh. Oh, every girl loves a makeover. Since time immemorial. All right. But then things start to get very serious because Verity and her sea captain, in the 12 minutes that they've known each other, have now done some illicit courting. And the truth has come out that the sea captain has, in fact, gone to jail for beating his wife to death, which is charming.
Yeah. She knows how to pick them.
Yep. I know. Yeah, and she, you know, he makes up some story that, oh, she slipped and fell, which is really the oldest line in the book. Yeah. Yeah. And so the uncle and the cousin come to Poldark. They say, you have to support us. You have to keep them away from her. But Poldark doesn't. What did you make of that, Julie? Why did he protect them?
I think, because he's kind of the black sheep of the family. And you have to admit, Verity has been very nice to him. And she has always been an ally to him. She has his back. I mean, she was the one that sort of warned him at the country dance that, look, Ross, you got to lay off Elizabeth. Everybody's talking about you. I mean, she's really got his back. So I think he was trying to, you know, everybody deserves some happiness, Leon. That's what I think.
Okay.
Go with his a killer sea captain. But maybe, you know, he felt like, you know, he's been wrongly accused of things. And perhaps that may be the case with the sea captain. But I wouldn't have let the sea captain off quite as easily. But
no, I mean, I guess they're making the point there are not a lot of fish in the sea for Verity, because as they pointed out, she is old and she has quite a nose. I mean,
it's an unfortunate nose. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
So the culmination of this whole episode happens at Ross's house. Verity's there. The sea captain's there. The cousin shows up. Accusatorily, the uncle shows up, and all of a sudden, the next thing we know, there's a duel happening.
Yes, Lynn, I mean, it's a good duel.
Stupid is that?
Duels? Oh, come on! It was great, but it's pretty dumb. Like, okay, I am going to walk 10 paces and turn around and like shoot you,
and over. You know, the sea captain slightly insulted the cousin, who, because he was trying to show off in front of Ross and take back his manhood because he felt like Ross was, you know, taking back his wife. He went nuts and 0 to 60. And the next thing you know, they're dueling over nothing. And here's the thing. That cannot end well for Verity. She is in she's in a no-win situation there.
I know.
I mean, and what was interesting to me, so of course the sea captain shoots the wimpy cousin in the neck a couple of times. And it looks like the cousin's going down, right?
Yeah, right.
And where does Verity go? Oh, over to the sea captain. I'm so sorry.
I know, but I like Verity.
I do. I like her.
She's Lady much Edith. More.
Yeah.
But she is, no, I think she's more likable than Lady Edith from Downton Abbey. But I liked her. I feel, you know, just a good woman, bad choices. And now it's over. So the sea captain has to take off, Leon, because he can't be around, because now he's shot the cousin. Right. But the cousin is really in trouble. He's got some serious wounds.
Yeah.
This is when Poldark really sort of swung into action, right? He swooped up the cousin, brought him upstairs. And because he had seen so much battle during the Revolutionary War, he knew kind of what to do. But who did he call on for his nurse in waiting, Leon?
Well, I first he called on Mrs. Drunkard, and she was afeard of blood, and I'm afeard of blood, so I understand that. So then Demelza, is that her name, Demelza?
Demelza.
Then Demelza shows up, and she is like Clara Barton. I mean, she starts ripping up, you know, linen. She starts wrapping things. She's not afeard of blood. She's in there like a fantastic field nurse, wouldn't you say?
Yes, Leon. I thought she did a great job. And obviously, it was a bonding experience between her and Poldark.
Yes. Well, I was hoping she would rip off his linen shirt and start using that as bandages. So I was... Sorry, that didn't happen. And then, and it was a bonding experience. He again feels bad that he's taken her away from her abusive home and gives her the opportunity to go back. They must miss you quite a bit. But what does she say, Julie?
No, she wants to stay. She belongs with him.
She belongs with him, especially now that he's gotten her that awesome cape as part of the makeover. So... then what happens? Then we, oh wait, hold on.
Oh yeah, there's more galloping.
There was more galloping at the end. They gallop on over to the copper mill. Demelza, Poldark, and Mr. and Mrs. Drunkard and some other people all have a picnic there at the copper mine. They're going to get that thing going, Julie, and they're going to take it back to the people, right?
I think so, Leon. I'm optimistic about that. I think Poldark had a pretty good show. I mean, he still, you know, Elizabeth doesn't look like a possibility right now, but he does have the supermodel in the waiting, you know, so I think that's positive.
Well, yeah, at the end, Elizabeth comes in. She rushes to the scene. She's clearly, is Francis, is that the cousin's name? She clearly does love Francis, her husband. And then she springs it on Poldark that, she's pregnant, by the way. Yeah. And that just is really the final straw for him. That's it. He's done. He's not going to be, you know, used by her again. But I suspect he will be, Julie.
I hope he will be, Lynn. Maybe a swimming party.
A swimming race. I think they should do, yeah. And then he joins the master swim team. And that would be good.
You don't want to miss this episode. If you haven't had a chance to watch, please go right ahead.
If you're a swim fan, you're going to want to watch it. One thing I did say, I thought there was some good dating advice. Just if you're looking to meet men, there was one scene when Poldark goes into the tavern and one of the tavern girls comes up and he rebuffs her. But then she tries again with a good, I thought that was a good gambit. She starts to read his palm. And I thought Sheila should try that. Like when she's trying to meet men, just pretend she's a fake palm reader. Thought that was good.
All right. And then Why not, Leanne? Might as well try it.
And then the sea captain, gentlemen, I have some dating tips for you. The sea captain managed to get Verity's attention by drawing riggings of his ship.
I know. So fascinating. And Verity was into it.
She really was. Poor Verity. All right. We're going to keep our eye on her. Maybe she needs a makeover, a new cape. All right. So Valerie, thank you so much for suggesting Poldark and Handsome. Next week looks to be a good episode. More of the no shampoo method, because Poldark doesn't shampoo either. Clearly.
He doesn't have to, Lynn. Okay. He does not have to.
All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Thanks for putting up with a few glitches today. We had a lot of technical problems. So if you've made it to this point in the show, it also means that I was able to do a masterful editing job. So let's hope that's the case. We are taking the 4th of July weekend off. Obviously, Julie has some big camp activities. Are you going to capture the flag on the 4th of July? Because that's what we always did. 4th of July.
Okay, Leanne. I'll put it on the schedule. Okay.
Yeah, capture the flag. But I am going to be posting an interview with writer Daniel Silva. So that will be up. He's a huge international bestseller. He writes thrillers. And his latest book is The English Spy. So look for that this weekend. All right, Jewel, have a great day.
You too, Leanne. Talk to you soon.
We're the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.